Okay, today we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The title of this message today is Pathway to Heaven. That is Pathway to Heaven. But as is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. You guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, Lord, just thanking You for the opportunity, Lord, to be in Your presence, breathing in, breathing out this week. The challenges that we may have faced, let us lay those at Your feet. Knowing this life will bring us sorrow and pain. It can be overwhelming sometimes. Lord, let us not lose that hope that we have in You. A hope that this life is only temporary. It's so short, so brief. Although it may feel so long, it's not. For the very day could be our last. The very breath that we breathe before we fall asleep could be our last. We're not promised tomorrow. And tomorrow is a blessing. Even though it may not feel like it. It may feel like a struggle. Maybe everything rushes so fast on you when you wake up. All the things that you have to do. Lord, let us take time to push those aside. And pray. And seek You. And praise and worship Your holy name. Above all other names. To put our focus and our eyes on You within the storm. Knowing You are that peace, that hope, that joy that we can have when everything is falling apart. God, I pray over our nation. It's rapidly moving away from You. The falling away has already begun. Many are just walking away from You. God, I pray that we'll be strong within this darkness that is engulfing our nation. Where they're calling evil good and good evil, how we increase, but let us be strong in the faith. Let us stand above the rest, where our light shining so bright within the darkness, others will see there's a difference in our life versus theirs. That there is a reason why we can stand with that peace and that joy and that hope, and that we can expound the scriptures to whoever needs to hear it. Those seeking questions, let us be able to answer their questions. Let us be seeking You through the Word of God daily, studying it like that our life depends on it, to reach those that are looking for a hope that this world cannot give them. God, let us rise above all this darkness and be that light. God, I pray over this message that You've given me to preach on today. I pray that it just launches out there to whoever's listening today, that it lodges into the heart, encourages that person, wherever they may be facing right now in their life, the depression, the anxiety, the stress, the thoughts of hopelessness. God, I pray this message just reaches their hearts. It uplifts their souls. It encourages their spirit that better days are coming. Not because of what I have said, but because of what the Word of God tells us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was looking at this passage, and you know, these passages like this, they bring me hope, especially when I look across the landscape and I see so much darkness. And I came across, and if you guys know me, I am a praiser and a worshiper. I love music. I love the old hymns that I was raised up as a kid underneath a pew playing with toys. And I love contemporary music too. The Casting Crowns and the Mercy Me. And I'll be in my office just praising God early in the mornings. Trying to start my day out right. And this new song by Casting Crowns. And Casting Crowns, they've been around for a while. Some of you guys may be familiar with Casting Crowns. They're solid. They're a solid group. And they have a new song. It's called Scars in Heaven. I'd like just to read some of the lyrics to you guys today. If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would put off all things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer. I would have held on a little tighter. Now that I've give for one more day with you. Because there's wounds here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's going to heal with time. But I know you're in my place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. And all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold me now. I know some of us have experienced loss. If you haven't, you will. It's just part of it, part of life. We will have that experience. But the thing is when we know that somebody was truly a child of God, we know they are in a better place. And even though our hearts long for them, because it's our flesh, we long for those that we lost. We know they are feeling no more pain. No more. That reading says, eyes have not seen. Our eyes have not even seen. Nor our ears heard. Neither entering the heart of man. Anything that we can imagine how heaven is going to be is beyond our imagination. You guys may be familiar with Mercy Me, that I can only imagine. It was popular when that song came out. It was hitting the airways, just not on the Christian broadcasting. It went through secular music too. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I'm staring at you. Will I be able to say anything? Will I just fall at your feet with tears in my eyes saying thank you, God? Because all will be revealed. All the things that we've experienced in our life will be understood, and there will be no more pain. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. Meaning, everything in this life is done. Your new life in Christ, if you are a child of God, it is going to be beautiful. Beautiful. And there's so much you can preach on that passage. But today, I want to preach on the pathway to heaven. See, I want everybody here. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see everybody with me forever in a place where there is no more pain, there is no more death, there is no more sorrow. But we have to understand what it means to be on that pathway to heaven. We have to understand what it means to be a child of God and not this watered-down version that is popular, that is growing in the church. The first important part of this is sin. Sin. It's not a popular word today in our churches in America. They will replace the word sin with mistake. And there's nothing wrong with saying mistakes. But if you're using it to sugarcoat the word sin, then you are leading people astray. The first step to understand to be a child of God is to realize we are sinful in nature. We are sinful in nature. And we need a Savior. We need the atonement. Romans 5:12-21 says this: therefore, as by one man enter into the world, the death by sin, so death pass upon all men. For all that have sinned, we all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imparted when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him was to come. But not offense also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man be dead, much more grace of God, much more the grace of God, the gift by which grace is by one man, Jesus Christ, have bound unto many. And not as by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if one man offends, death reign by one, much more which receive abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came to all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came unto all men unto the justification of life. For as one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. So the obedience of one shall make many righteous. Therefore, law enter the fence made abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even as so much grace reigns through the righteous unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:12-21, that is. In this passage, we can get that sin. Where did sin come from? We can go back to Genesis, because Genesis points to Jesus. And Jesus points back to Genesis. And so remember where we are. We are sinful. When we go back to the Garden of Eden and we look at Eve and Adam and how perfect they were living in a garden with no pain, no sorrow, no death. They had nothing to worry about. And we look at them. And then we go to Genesis 3 and we look at that deception. Eve allowed herself to be deceived. And Adam too. They both partake of the fruit that God told them not to take of. And sin came into this world. The curse came into this world. Death came into this world. At that point, how the Bible is defining death, there was no death at that time. They were going to live forever. A lot of people will say, well, it's all God's fault. No, it is not God's fault. He's the easiest one to point fingers at. And you will hear that today. And I want to encourage you guys to understand that, because you will get those questions. And I'm all about difficult questions. If you ever encounter somebody that gives you a difficult question, just tell them, hey, I'll get back with you. Get their phone number. Get whatever. And if you can't figure it out, call me, because I thrive on difficult questions. Because as a child, I wanted to hear. I went to the pastors and the elders and the deacons of the church as a kid and asked them questions. And they looked at me like I lost my mind. How am I supposed to learn if I don't ask questions? And if you can't answer my questions, how am I supposed to grow? I guarantee you, and you see it today, we're losing our young kids because we can't ask difficult questions. We look at them like we don't know what to say. I guarantee you the devil, Satan, will fill their heads with lies because he did mine. And that's why I study hard, difficult questions. And one is, it's all God's fault. Why does good things happen to evil people? And why? And that's a question, right? And why does good people, or well, where does Why does good things happen to evil people? Why does evil things happen to good people? Or, I think I said that right. Basically, if you're a Christian and you're walking with God, why are there bad things happening in your life? And if you're out there living so fast and large in the world and it seems like they're being blessed, or how the world would define that as being blessed by getting all the material things. And we talked about this in Sunday disciple training, is we got to understand this is as close as heaven as they will get. Because when they die, all of that will cease. That physical death will lead to a spiritual death if they are not truly a child of God. And that spiritual death is that internal separation to a place where damnation, we can't even understand the torment that's going on, happen to them. It should break our heart when we talk about hell, because hell is designed of a place of everlasting torment, day and night, no sleep, burning till you can't, burning. Imagine immense heat. You think Louisiana heat is bad. I promise you, there is no more. We can't even imagine how hot it'll be 100 times, 200 times, 300 times hotter in hell. And yes, they're having their best life now. They're getting the material things. But we got to understand that is all they're getting. This is their heaven. This is not ours. So if we suffer in this life, so be it. It's only temporary. You see, when God told Adam and Eve, you will surely die if you took of that fruit, he was saying you will experience a death. Not a death that was immediately. He means a curse will come and your body will start decaying. You can see they lived in the Bible for a lot of years. And now the life expectancy keeps dropping. It's because of that curse. It deteriorates our body. That physical death will come to all, provided God does not split that eastern sky and come for us. Physical death will come. Not because God says, oh, ha ha. No, it burdens his heart to see that he had to implement, but he's a holy and righteous God, and physical death was because of us. But you see, he also speaks of a spiritual death that none of us has to experience. None of us. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world, we know this passage by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, whoever you and I believe on him, shall not perish. We shall not be damned. We can have everlasting life, may not in this life, but the next. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn us, There is no condemnation in Christ. Right? Romans 8:1. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him, this world, could be saved. Saved through Jesus Christ. We have to believe and commit our lives to Christ. And John 3:18 says that he that believeth on Him is not condemned. When we believe, when we commit our life to Christ, we are not condemned. John 3:18 tells us that. But he that don't believe, or she that don't believe, oh, the only begotten name of Jesus Christ is condemned already. Those that reject Jesus are condemned to a place. They're on a pathway to hell. They choose not to confess themselves to Jesus. And the first confession is, I am a sinful person. And sin should not be tolerated in my life. David. Psalm 51. This is a psalm where David was confronted with his sin, or sins, with Bathsheba. You see, David got a little high, or we say, too good for himself. He enjoyed women. It's really no way to put it. He enjoyed women. And when he looked at Bathsheba, even though he had Lord knows how many wives and concubines, he wanted her. Even though she was a married woman, he still wanted her. And he took her. And then that wasn't enough. She ended up pregnant. And then he was trying to kill her husband. And he did. And Nathan, the prophet Nathan, you know, prophets are not very popular. A true prophet will not be popular in today's world because they always buckle against the way of the culture. They don't blend in. They pronounce a judgment. And then they pronounce, if you repent, this will not happen to you. There's always two sides of that. Same thing with America. If America repents of her wickedness, then God will bless America again. If not, then God will curse America. That is prophetic, right? And that's, of course, I'm no prophet, but I'm just saying that's prophetic. And you don't even have to be a prophet. You can look at the scriptures and kind of get that. But in Psalm 51, Nathan points out, and when David realized what he has done and the sin that has infiltrated his heart, this is what he says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned. I've done this evil in thy sight. Thou hast mightest be justified when I speak. Speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I sharpened my iniquity. In the sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I desire truth in the inward parts and the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy of gladness. The bones which I have broken. The bones, Lord, that you have broken. You've broken me, God. May I rejoice in this brokenness. Do we pray like that? Hide thy face from my sins. Block out my iniquity. Don't even look on me, God. I am sinful. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit. Take this heart of mine that I have corrupt and renew it.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Thou wilt teach transgression the ways. The sinners shall be converted unto thee. Lord, break me. Humble me. So I can reach others. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, that God, my salvation, my tongue shall sing out loud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thy my mouth, my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praises, for thy desire is not sacrifice, neither shall I give it, thy delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God, our sacrifices to God, are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrived heart, O God, wilt thou not despise? Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, built up on the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shalt thou offer bullocks upon thy altar. Do we pray like that? Do we pray like that when we encounter our sin? Do we say, Lord, don't even look at me? I get that way. I know I'm up here as a preacher, but I guarantee you, I am sinful in nature. I fight that flesh daily. Some people will look at preachers up here and they will think we are unscathed. I promise you, we fight the same, or we fight sin too. And when we encounter it, it breaks our hearts, or should break our hearts, as it should break yours. It broke David's heart. He said, create in me a clean heart. The bones that you have broken, Lord, I will rejoice in those. God receives that prayer of repentance. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit is given to us. The Holy Spirit is so beautiful within us. That Holy Spirit drives us to repentance. You see, we need to understand the pathway to heaven is part of repentance. You will see that many churches don't want to preach on repentance of sin because they don't think they need to repent of anything. And we need to daily. It's just part of the Christian life. It's part of being a soldier for Christ is repentance. And through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed on that cross, and He was taken from that cross and placed in that tomb, and that third day He rose from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:55. So death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? We should not fear physical death. Death is what it is. It's only truly a beautiful beginning for those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. When we recognize what He did on that cross, the blood that had to be shed, that we could come where we are today and give it all to Him. When we recognize what happened at that tomb, He rose, that death does not have a control over us. We recognize, we confess, we commit our life to Jesus Christ. We commit, we believe. People will say, no, you don't have to commit. They will look at salvation as a one-time event. It is not, it is a process that goes over time. When we look at the cross, we recognize that grace. We recognize that mercy. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved. We are saved through grace and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. Grace, we do not deserve grace. To break it down, grace is simply God gives us things we do not deserve. He gives us things we do not deserve. Some would say unmerited favor, but kind of shorts it. It's beyond that. At the cross, we see that grace. We also see that mercy. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Again, mercy, He saved us. By the washing, the regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's that mercy and that grace that points to that cross. It points to His resurrection. And we believe when we confess that and we commit our life to that. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit, John 3:1 through 10 tells us, the Holy Spirit being renewed, we are no longer our old. We are now new. We are born again because the Holy Spirit has entered us. We are new creatures in Christ. And repentance is part of a daily thing that we will have to experience when we encounter sin in our life. Realize that when sin comes into our life and the lack of conviction and chastisement in our heart is a sign there's something serious wrong with our lives. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, for godly sorrow works repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance. 2:2 Salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Meaning, what the world views as sorrow will work death. It's contrary to the gospel. They will tell you, be sad if you don't get something. Maybe a job promotion or a raise. True sorrow is found in Christ. True sorrow is found when we truly do not want to accept that atonement. At Romans 5:1 through 10 tells us that atonement. That atonement that was given to us. Jesus said, you do not have to experience a spiritual death. I give you Jesus, my only Son. He did not do nothing. He was blameless. He was innocent. But I give Him to you. Do you accept Him? We have options. We have a choice. God provides a choice to everyone. Even though He knows where you're going to choose, He still provides the options. Which kind of blows our mind, right? Trying to wrap our... where your heart is. He knows if you're imposter and faking it. He knows when you walk out these doors, if you leave this message right here in this church and do not carry it out. He knows. He gives you options. He gave Adam and Eve options. Eat of that fruit, you will die. In course counter, if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. He provides options. When we commit our lives and we believe through faith in that atonement, in that resurrection, we say to God, here is my life. Here is my life. It's no longer mine. Let my life be your life. Let my steps be your steps. Let my heart be your heart. Let my eyes see the way you see. Let my hands reach out to who around. Let my feet walk the way you walk to what you need me to do that day. Let my ministry be that day. Whatever you need, I will go. We our life is no longer ours. It is Christ. That is a process of what we call sanctification. A process of dying to ourselves daily. Getting us to be more like Christ. The only thing that's important in this life is to look more like Jesus every day as we walk out into this world, and not less like that world, or not like that world more, but more like Jesus. More like Jesus. See, when that Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it convicts us of our sins. You can flip over to Galatians 5. It's a quick passage to look at. Walk more in the Spirit, less in the flesh. It gives you a whole list of sins. I guarantee you, it'll touch on yours because it touches on mine. And you can go from there and do a deep Bible study of all the sins in the Bible. I guarantee you, you will find yourself in one of those. Because our flesh, we are still flesh. And we war. We still have that fight. But it means that we will fight because the Holy Spirit that's in us will fight for us. Why? Because Hebrews 12, 6 through 11 says, "For whom the Lord loved, He chastens. If He loves you, He will chasten you. He will whoop you. And if that don't work, He scourges every son or daughter." You can look at that as collectively. "Whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For which son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are pastors and not sons." That's sad. See that scourging and that chastisement. That conviction lets me know that I am a child of God. Without that, and you're doing sins or sins in your life, you're not feeling that conviction. You want to keep doing your path, which is contrary to the path to heaven. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. See, salvation is not a one-time event. Matthew 10:22 says this, "And ye shall be hating of all men for my name's sake. For he that endures to the end." Not that he that say, "Oh, I said this prayer, I'm good." No. Matthew tells us that was the Holy Spirit pouring through him. "For my name's sake, but he that endure to the end shall be saved." Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Endure, right? Mark 13:13, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, shall be saved." And that is saved. That's S-A-V-E-D. You have to endure to the end. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 said, "There, thy therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that war entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strives for masters, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The hustleman that labor must first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, Lord, have the understanding of all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer unto the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, endure all things." Endure all things. Endure. It's all in the Bible. Endure. Persevere. Push to the end. If you don't want that, then okay. God said you have options. You can go to hell. I will allow you to do that because you chose it. You chose hell because you don't want to endure. You don't want to push forward. You don't want to press to the mark. And the Holy Spirit is not in you, not convicting you. And you want to live in your life of sexual immorality. You want to live like that world. You want to conform to that world. Then God said you have options. You will go to hell. You will not find a preacher like me that will tell you otherwise, that believe the whole counsel of the Word of God, that you're on a pathway to hell. And I'm trying to tell you, turn from that path. Turn. I don't know where your hearts are today, but I want to tell you, the whole counsel of God said you have to endure to the end. Wherever life hits you with, endure. When things look rough, endure. When you don't think you can step again, endure. The Holy Spirit will push you forward if you allow Him to push you forward. Endure. Do not be okay with your sin. You cannot live a lifestyle of sin. I don't care how it's becoming popular and how churches, even probably in this area, they're telling you it's okay to live your sin. No. It's not okay. God does not approve of your sin. The Holy Spirit is that will grieve you to a point where you can't even think straight. If you're okay with your sin, you're thinking straight, you're living that lifestyle, you're rejecting God, then God will reject you because you never were a child of God. You got to endure. If we do, those passages at the very beginning of this sermon applies to you. See, people want heaven, but they also want heaven on earth. In entirety, how they view heaven on earth is not the way we view, because we are, if we are children of God, we can still have that heaven in our hearts. But how they want to view heaven is all the things, material-wise, will be given to you. And you will not have to suffer for nothing. That's a wrong message. As Christians, we realize we may have to suffer. Some of us greater than others. It's just how it is. To understand, though, all I know is God is good and He's purifying us. It's through the fire and the tests. But I know if we endure to the end, God gives us these beautiful promises. But as written, eyes have not seen, nor ears neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. And Revelation 24 says, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. As we close this out today, well, I want to encourage you guys today. Look into your heart. Where is your life at right now? These altars is always open. And I'm always available to talk. Any questions that you may have about salvation? Any thoughts on this message that you need me to expound? I promise you, it's nothing special about me. It's just the Holy Spirit just burns inside of me. It's hard to describe the fire that's there to reach those for the gospel. To me, one person, I can preach to one or two people, I'm satisfied, because that's the one or two people God placed in my pathway. And to God, that is just as great as preaching to a million people. See, our perspective, how we look at it, it's not God's perspective. He said, when two or three are gathered, So if it's me, my wife, somebody else, God is in the midst. That's not too hard, huh? As we stand, where's your path? Is it leading straight to heaven? Or is it leading straight to hell? Have you truly believed and confessed Jesus Christ?